Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here at KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me is Dr. Jessica Gracie. I don't know how I screwed up doctor this morning, but you've been joining us for the past few weeks and will join us every Friday until election week to discuss this previous week in politics. And I kind of want to start out with what we've seen this week from the candidates, which is a media blitz. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to probably why after that, but I'm trying to figure out who to start with, Harris or Trump. I want to say Trump because, as usual, he's gotten headlines for, as he usually is very good at doing, for just things that are not very normal. Mm-hmm. First being what is 39 minutes of DJing, the guy with the auxiliary cord at a party, and he's kind of just... I mean, back in our day, playing off an iPod or something, uh-huh. But now it'd be a Spotify playlist. And I've looked at the commentary from both sides. You have Democrats saying this is clearly someone whose screw is loose, who, you know, mm-hmm. early signs of dementia by some people. On the Republican side, you have people saying, look, you know, he was at his own thing. He does what he wants. He's just a guy who's enjoying music. Mm-hmm. Clearly, everyone there didn't mind that they were still there. What do you take away from that?
Yeah, it's just interesting, right? It's a very strange sort of decision this relatively late in the campaign to kind of essentially turn a what was supposed to be a town hall into, a kind of impromptu, playing your Spotify playlist. It is awfully strange. How that plays really does depend on, right, like where you're reading that from, right? Many Republicans are like, it's just part of his charm. It's just who he is. That clearly resonates with a lot of voters, that he kind of does just do whatever, that he doesn't have these sort of canned responses to things, and that he kind of, does what he wants to do, even if that's instead of answer town hall questions, play random and sway to random music. But I think it is understandable why some people are seeing that and saying, what is going through his mind? Was that intentional? Who knows, right? Is that a sign that he's mentally unfit or something like that? Obviously, like, it's hard to know from the outside looking in, right? I think it's very easy to armchair diagnose unless you're, probably not a good idea to do that, right? But how many people are seeing that and questioning now, is he fit or not? Or are looking at it and saying, like, he's just doing his thing. That's perfectly fine. So it is a very interesting decision, though, to sort of turn this kind of not super last ditch, but getting close to the end where they're kind of trying to sway voters. And I don't really know how that sways any voters. But maybe it excites his base. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that you kind of get differing opinions on was the town hall, or not the town hall, the form he did with Bloomberg Law.
Yeah.
And you could hear laughter when he was being questioned and would push back against the person asking mm-hmm. the question, specifically about tariffs. And you can hear laughter, and they're, liberals saying, well, they're laughing at him because he doesn't know what tariffs are. And you have Republicans saying, well, they're laughing at the question asker because he's pushing back and saying how dumb they are.
Right.
And it's hard to know what the truth is, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we are seeing this we've seen this for a long time, but I think we're seeing it even more now that we have so much more media that is playing to their bias, right? That we see these headlines written in ways to draw in readers or viewers or whatever, listeners that do have a bias. And so, they're written in a very biased way. And it's really sort of hard then to tell, what is it? I don't really know. And maybe it's a mixture of both. That's certainly possible. Some people might have been laughing for very different reasons. It's really hard to tell. If you're sort of an outside viewer for these sort of things, if you're, not actually at the event, or even if you are at the event, sometimes that's hard to even tell. It's really difficult.
So, well, going out to Harris, who had a mix of traditional and newer media mm-hmm. Hits, first kind of newer media was Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
There really wasn't a lot of ripples from that. But how do you think that plays when she goes to, you know, a non-traditional media outlet? And Trump has done this before as well, going to podcasters. Mm-hmm. How does that play, not with their bases, but with undecided voters who might be listening to podcasts like that?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, going to untraditional media is usually a good bet for most candidates. They can reach people that they might not have reached in other ways, right? I'm thinking, candidates have done this for a long time. I'm thinking of Bill Clinton in, was it 92, playing the saxophone mm-hmm. on, you know, essentially a night, you know, little sort of evening podcast, not podcast, sort of entertainment show. And so, yeah, that really resonated with a lot of people that probably were not seeing him in other ways. And so, yeah, I mean, I think this has the potential to reach a lot of voters, and I think it's usually a good decision for most candidates to do that sort of thing.
Another thing she did, you know, for the first time in her campaign, it's a very short campaign, but, you know, the first time in her campaign, you know, when Trump goes to MSNBC or someone, we say it's going to Lion's Den. Well, she went to the Lion's Den of Fox News.
Yeah.
And once again, you had the different opinions of Republicans saying, oh, she bombed it, she fell on her face, and Democrats saying, oh, she went in there and held her own. What were your takeaways from her interview with Bret Baier?
Yeah, I think I think a good decision on the part of her campaign to go to Fox News, potentially reach some voters that might, you know, be on the fence, more inclined to vote for Trump and maybe swayed by her. I don't know. I think you're right that it's probably a pretty unfriendly audience from Fox News viewers. So I don't know that she necessarily swayed many minds, but the potential to, certainly. I think she did a pretty good mix of sort of calling out him in his interview style as being a little combative that maybe made it seem like, hey, you know, give me a fair shot, let me answer the question sort of thing, but also still seeming not too combative, right? I think that's a hard line to walk when you're kind of in an unfamiliar or unfriendly sort of environment to not be too combative, but push just a smidge. And I think she did a pretty good job of walking that line.
And the reason we're seeing, at least from my own point of view, and I think most political outsiders looking in, the reason that there is this huge media blitz is because the polls are tightening. I mean, 538, which I've referenced every week, shows a 52-48 kind of basically mm-hmm. tie. Harris being 52 times out of 100, Trump 48 out of 100. And I believe last time I looked, 8 states within the margin of error.
Yeah.
Why are they tightening when, you know, a month ago everyone was saying Harris was riding this wave?
I think a lot of it is, I think polls tend to change as the election gets closer and voters actually start to pay attention. A lot of voters don't really pay attention until this last month or so of the campaign, which is weird for people like me that are constantly caring about the election. How are you not caring 5 months ago? But a lot of voters just sort of aren't making up their minds until pretty late. It's always hard to tell, are the polls going to tighten or are they going to change in any way? I think we often see them tightening as voters change their minds. I think the fact that they've tightened indicates that some of those voters that are late changing their minds are changing their minds towards Trump. Why? I don't really know. Were they voters that were already inclined to vote that way and now are more certain and willing to say that to pollsters? Or not? Are there other reasons? It's always hard to know what's sort of going through voters' minds when they're answering those polls.
So this was something that kind of came to mind right now. Is a undecided voter or someone who, like you said, doesn't pay attention to politics until right now, is that mm-hmm. someone who kind of views elections and the election cycle as like, I don't know, a TV show that they just don't want to pay attention to all the time, and then something interesting happens, so like, yeah, I'll tune in tonight.
Yeah. I think in many ways, yes. I think a lot of people see politics and elections specifically as just something that's very stressful and that they just don't want to deal with, right? They just don't want to have to think about it. And understandably, a lot of times politics has been pretty anxiety-inducing lately. And so it is kind of easy to just say, I'll just wait and deal with that when I have to deal with that. Or, yeah, when there's something really good on the TV show that they want to finally pay attention to. Ooh, this really dramatic thing happened. Let me pay attention now. Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a week, you know, in politics if it wasn't for October surprises. I don't think there was technically any this week. But the one thing I kind of want to bring up, and this was in a Washington Post story, was about how the internet is already just, well, I should say social media, because that's where a lot of it is kind of born, is just riddled with AI-generated fakes, deep fakes, mimicking the candidates' voices. And we talk every week, you know, and, you know, historically speaking, there is that kind of thing at the end that makes voters go, oh, okay, well, as you said, for the people who have been paying attention and then hear about the October surprise, that's the final thing. Is it possible that an AI-generated deepfake is the October surprise this year?
I mean, I think it's certainly possible, but I think the more shocking something is, the more likely it would be to be an October surprise. But also the more shocking something is, the more it's going to be scrutinized. And if it's AI, then, you know, there'd probably be a lot more people saying, wait a minute, let's fact check this. This is not real. And so it might not sway voters. I think the things that I find more concerning are the deep fakes that are not super outlandish, but like just enough that are going to potentially sway voters, maybe not enough to get massive amounts of mainstream media attention to actually fact check it, but those sort of little things that people are sharing on their Facebook feed or on TikTok or whatever that are critical. If I heard it, I would say, why would that candidate say that? How awful. I don't like that candidate now. But aren't quite outlandish enough that I'm going to hear fact-checking information for it.
So to look back at 2016's October surprise, it was FBI Director James Comey coming out and saying, we're reopening the case and looking into this. It was more or less the idea of something awful coming out. Is that something that, like you said, may be outlandish, but I don't know, is it believable?
Right. I mean, I think anything that's going to kind of give voters a moment of pause or potentially confirm, I think, some fears or concerns that they might have about specific candidates. And I think that's what 2016, the James Comey thing did to Hillary Clinton. A lot of people already kind of had a little bit of a worry about those sort of scandals, that the previous scandals, the emails, all of that sort of stuff. And so I think hearing that maybe sort of confirmed some of those already existing concerns. And so I think if something comes out that confirms some existing concerns about one of the candidates, even if it's not true or, you know, something like that, that might, sway enough, with it being so close, might sway enough voters in one direction or the other.
So what do you think would be the big concerns? Because the ones that the Washington Post played this week, specifically for their story, there was one of Harris talking about how, you know, she is the DEI candidate, which has been an attack point on the right. And then you have a deepfake of Trump talking about how dumb people are and his voters are idiots, a criticism lobbied by the left. Is it something as simple as that, a fear, or is there something that either candidate should worry about with undecided voters hearing?
You know, I don't know. With either one of those things, you know, is that enough to necessarily sway, a more hardcore Trump or Harris supporter? Probably not, but it might be enough to sway one of the ones that are kind of, you know, somewhere in the middle, that they're not really sure, you know, I kind of maybe like Trump, but I don't really know yet. And then you hear something like that, and then maybe that means now I don't, and I'm not going to vote. Or maybe I hear something like that about Harris, and now I am going to vote against her. It could be something as small as that, especially in some of those states where it is really close, right? A lot of the voters that are hearing that information, though, are the voters that have probably already decided. If you're the type of voter who's seeing a lot of deep fake stuff in your newsfeed, you're probably the type of voter that's seeing a lot of political information anyway. You've probably already made up your mind. But maybe you're Facebook friends with one of those super political people that's sharing something, and you're not a political person that's seeing all those things, and now you're seeing those things towards the end. Maybe that does sway you one direction or the other.
And going forward, I've told people about AI when they say things like, oh, you know, it obviously looks fake here. It obviously is not the Harris or Trump in that audio. It's not them in that video. But long term, we know that the technology is going to get better. Mm-hmm. Politically speaking, what is it that needs to be done to ensure that by 2028, these deep fakes that we can say are fake are almost too good to indistinguish between anything legitimately real?
Yeah, that's a really tricky question, because I think this is just sort of an extra layer on top of something we've been seeing for a while, right? We've seen fake news and misinformation be a problem for a while. I'm thinking about the people, the voters in 2012 who were convinced that Obama was a Muslim, right? That was not true. But yet they heard it in various spaces. It was shared on social media and fake news sites on the internet, sort of continuing this misinformation. So, I mean, I think there are some voters that are very savvy that are not going to fall for any of that sort of stuff. And then there are a lot of voters that are going to fall for misinformation, even if it's not done well. They're still going to fall for it. I think it's a lot more concerning the better it gets at sort of faking these sort of things and making AI much more realistic and harder to pick apart. But even without that, we still have voters that are believing misinformation. And so, yeah, I don't know that the problem is necessarily, I mean, I think part of the problem is we should be being able to figure out what is fake and what is not with AI. But I think a better solution would be for voters just to become a lot more media savvy. And if you are seeing information that you're like, that seems interesting, or it makes you really angry, like, check it on another source, right? Check multiple sources to confirm it, because the potential for 10 sources to all be reporting the same thing that's misinformation or AI generated is probably going to be pretty small, because most reputable news organizations are doing a pretty good job of sort of picking apart what is AI generated and what's not. I don't know if they'll be able to continue to do that as it gets better, but hopefully, fingers crossed, they will.
Fingers crossed. Well, I think that's a good ending point. Thank you for joining me again this morning, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good.
Once again, that's Dr. Jessica Gracie, Northwest professor, and I'm Jeremy Werner, your host. Thank you for tuning into your morning conversation.